Let's take our Bibles at this time and turn to Psalm 72. Psalm 72, Song of Solomon. Or for Solomon. Could translate that anyway. But Psalm 72, the word of the Lord. Give the king your judgments, O God, and your righteousness to the king's son. He will judge your people with righteousness and your poor with justice. The mountains will bring peace to the people, and the little hills by righteousness. He will bring justice to the poor of the people. He will save the children of the needy, and will break in pieces the oppressor. They shall fear you as long as the sun and moon endure. Throughout all generations he shall come down like rain upon the grass before mowing, like showers that water the earth. In his days the righteous shall flourish in abundance of peace till the moon is no more. He shall have dominion also from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. Those who dwell in the wilderness shall bow before him, and his enemies will lick the dust. The kings of Tarshish and of the isles will bring presents. The kings of Sheba and Seba will offer gifts. Yea, all kings shall fall down before him. All nations shall serve him. For he will deliver the needy when he cries, the poor also, and him who has no helper. He will spare the poor and needy, and will save the souls of the needy. He will redeem their life from oppression and violence. Precious shall be their blood in his sight. And he shall live, and the gold of Sheba will be given to him. Prayer also will be made for him continually, and daily he shall be praised. There will be an abundance of grain in the earth. In the top of the mountains its fruit shall wave like Lebanon, and those of the city shall flourish like grass of the earth. His name shall endure forever. His name shall continue as long as the sun. And men shall be blessed in him. All nations shall call him blessed. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only does wondrous things, and blessed be his glorious name forever. And let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. The prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended. Thus far we read God's word, Psalm 72. I want to introduce my sermon this evening by announcing what you know, that it is Father's Day, and what you ought to know is that I won't be promoting a worldly kind of Father's Day among you, though I would at this time address you with a Father's Day, quote-unquote, sermon. Say, if I were a man of culture, promoting culture, I might have prepared a sermon all about dads and wishing dads happy Father's Day. If I were a man of culture, I'd even pull from my files a bunch of stories that might cause you to shed a tear and tell you stories of dads being good dads, so that you might be made warm and fuzzy all over, recalling memories of deeds of dads. Remember this? Cheering you on in a race you never had a hope to win. And maybe among your dads, I could evoke some pride in your own recollection of your being that cheerful and supportive father of the son or the daughter who would never win the race. But you were there anyway. If I were a man of culture, fighting the culture war, I might be bold even to bring to shame in this sermon all deadbeat dads. and even so bold to address you and the congregation, you fathers, who only can recall all too well that when your son was there learning to walk, you weren't there. And while you were away, and then when you came back, you just didn't have time to take the ball that you bought for your son or your daughter and to play with him or her. But I'm not that kind of a man, you see, of the culture anyway. And I wanted to disabuse you of the notion that you might think I was. By the grace of God, I would bring you a far more noble message this afternoon. The message of the gospel of the fatherhood of God. And of the day today which is His. And of every day which is our Heavenly Father's day. Did you think of that today? Did we as families think of that today? This is Father's Day. This is when Father calls us to His house, the house of His dear Son, and would speak to us. And this Father's Day is to have the sway over all of the other days, so that every day we're listening to Father's word and the echo of it, and we would live by that word and believe in that word and say amen to that word. So I want to bring you the gospel of that Father, our God. And I know you know all this, but we need to believe all this and live according to this wonderful truth of the fatherhood of God. Now, from a certain perspective, many texts that deal with the fatherhood of God. Recently, I preached on the Lord's Prayer, and you know the first thing in the prayer, children, don't you? We're called to address God as who? Our Father, which art in heaven. But from this perspective, from the last words of our text in Psalm 72, two words there, amen and amen. It's a striking phrase there at the end of this psalm, which is said to mark the end of the prayers of David. There's an amen twice. And I believe there's something here that we should take home tonight. If we are to get truly to take into our hearts today what Father is all about. And so we say amen to that. That's what we want to lead to. That response, amen and amen, for fatherhood and the glory of God the Father. So the text of my sermon is just Psalm 72. And again, this perspective of our saying amen and amen to God. And that's my first point, amen to God. But then there's this point I want to make, that saying amen is tied up with a man, a very special man, a very special man. And that's right in the psalm, prefigured in the gospel. Then finally, I want to talk about how we can be a kind of amen people and promote what ought to be promoted everywhere, the glory of God. So follow me, bear with me here as I try to make us a people, to lead us to be a people of Christ in the midst of this culture. You know, they're declaring Father's Day here. What's that all about? What are we all about in the midst of this American culture? So I point you to this as we consider amen and amen and give glory to God. But the psalmist here is reflecting upon something. Right at the end of Psalm 72, he's reflecting upon God. That ought to cause us to pause a minute here. Amen is about, it's a reflection on something. It's thinking upon something that is going to be said or something that has been said. And here, as always in the Bible, amens are to remind us of the truth of God. It's high theology here. How many of us even in the midst of Americana, have been led to high theology today. There's high humanity, definite warmness and fuzziness among families. And celebrations of fathers have been good, and shame and tears shed about fathers who've been unfaithful. But certainly there's been a focus, and it can catch us up, can it, and sweep us away. But the focus ought always to be, amen, tells us this, on God. And specifically, the godness, the greatness of God in His being and in His work. And Psalm 72 celebrates God as King. God is King forever. God whose rule is sovereign. And we don't have a better name for our church, but we are Sovereign Grace Church. You're only Grace Church. But we mean the same thing. God's grace is what we extol. Here, the sovereignty of God is brought out, isn't it? God is King. So much so that the other kings don't have a chance. The other kings who are around Israel, they didn't have any chance. Chance? Well, there is no such thing. They didn't have one. To be God. To be King. Just God. And that's what we believe of God, isn't it? He's God. And He has His kingdom. It's amazing. It's a kingdom whose dominion is from sea to sea. And it's worldwide, in other words. And it's a king who reigns in righteousness. And that's repeatedly brought out in the context here. Verse 2, He will judge your people with righteousness, your poor with justice. And this rule according to what's right is ascribed to this king. But a rule of pity, too, so that the poor are dealt with in such a way that they're lifted up. They're cared for. And so there's this righteousness and this mercy in this kingdom. And as well, there's this, well, behind it all, the psalmist no doubt knows that God, who's King and to whom he's saying amen, is also his Father. The Old Testament doesn't speak of Father often. You know that? That waits for the New Testament. And when the fatherhood of God is revealed in the Son of God, and the intimacy and the love of God is commended to us on the cross. But it's there. The fact that God is Father to His people is there, along with His being King. So the King of this kingdom upon whom the psalmist is reflecting is first of all, and primarily and fundamentally and wonderfully, a Father. He's one who loves, in other words. He has power to rule. He has righteousness to rule. But He has love to rule. And He brings people into this kingdom. He makes them subjects of this kingdom so that He saves their souls, verse 13, redeems their life from oppression and violence. And precious not only is their life, but shall be their blood in His sight. The psalmist has only this to say in response to this. Verse 18 following, blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only does wondrous things. And blessed be His glorious name forever. And let the whole earth be filled with His glory. And that's when he gets to the amen twice. Amen and amen. Now, people of God, the first point is about to end. So it has to do with this amen. I've said that the psalmist is thinking about something. And amen always gets us to think about something that's gone before or that's following. That's important to remember. But amen is a very significant word. It means, I believe that. So the psalmist is reflecting upon the kingdom and back of that the fatherhood and father love of God. And right at the end, he says twice, it's true. In case you had any doubts, you who might be hearing this in Israel or in all the world, amen. It's true. It's true. That's important for us to remember as we think about amens, as we say amens quite often during Sunday services and certainly to end our prayers. We can think that amens are not that important. They're just the end. You ever think of that, children? Amen means now we're done. That's it. Now we can open our eyes. Now we can go home. And we go on with life. And we just concluded. Like the story, Hansel and Gretel, once upon a time, they all lived happily ever after. The end. I think we can be just about as common in our prayers as that, can't we? Amen means the end. You open your eyes, doesn't it? Amen, in fact, comes from the Hebrew word, which means, and here you're going to learn some Hebrew. Aman. Amen comes from aman. Aman means, I believe. I trust. Just like I said, when you say amen, it means I believe, I trust. And it's used to describe the trusting of the people of God. The affirmation of the people of God's good pleasure. It's an amazing word to signify everything that the people of God are about. So it's not just the end. It's an asseveration. A bold statement. God is God, and truth is really right, really true. Jesus often uses the word amen, sometimes to begin his discourses in the New Testament. When he says, verily, verily, I say to you, you know that, he said that twice. He's saying, amen, amen, I say to you, same thing. Jesus himself is confirming that importance of the truth by verily, verily. Jesus had to, felt compelled to, pepper his sermons with amens. So it's a confirmation, is amen and amen. And as I would suggest to you, not only in the context of this text, but as I would preach to you, it's always about God. This is the Bible, after all. And this book is this truth of God. And the truth of God is something that demands response. And the response is and must be, I believe. Amen. I'm convicted. So that, my first point, the psalmist here is saying amen to God. God the King. God the King of His kingdom. God the Father, who's righteous and loving. Now the question is, and I want to, maybe you didn't know this was the question, but I want you to say it is the question. How can that be? How can he say that? How can we say that? How can we, among the sons of men, say amen to God when you consider our nature is to say no to God? Do we know that? My nature is Adamic. Yours is too. Our nature is therefore like Adam's when he fell. And that is to say, God said that with a question mark. God said that? He's not serious. I don't know. It can always and also be this way. God said, that's what this means? That I'm God? And that You shall not do what I forbid you to do. You shall do what I command you to do. God said that? Question mark. Adam says, we say, I don't know. I'm not sure. Too heavy. Too heavy. And about kings, and about kingdoms, and about what's right, and about what's wrong, and about fatherhood, we all have a word to say. And we don't say amen to what God says about it. It's that bad. And sadly, a celebration of fathers and celebration of other earthly things, they got days for everything, don't they? Secretary's Day, this day and that day. Not belittling that. Except that it brings out, doesn't it? These days on our calendars. That all man has is himself. And all people are bent on doing even is lifting up for your inspection how good we can be. How good fathers can be. How good secretaries can be. How good whatever. There's even ministers' month. You see, the Bible isn't about that. The Bible isn't about our saying amen to man. That's Babel. Let's build a tower. That's apostate Israel. Let's do it our way. Let's do what's right in our own eyes. Book of Judges. That's man's word. But human beings' response to God is far, therefore, from amen. And in the best of us, quote unquote, our amens are weak. Amen. We whisper it. Amen. Maybe. When we have trials, when we go through life's pits and come to realize that life isn't a beach or a stroll in the park, that's when our little faith comes out, doesn't it? In fact, our complete unbelief, which is like the world. We are. Not only in its celebrations, but in its declarations of man and his peace and his righteousness and what he can do in this world. That's how bad it is. That's what we're all like. So how can it be that a psalmist says, blessed be His glorious name forever. Blessed be the Lord God, His name, the God of Israel, who only does wondrous things. Blessed be His glorious name forever. And let the whole earth be filled with His glory. And put this at the end of this declaration, amen and amen. Doesn't the psalmist realize the whole earth is dead? There's only one explanation, and this is the answer the Bible gives. Why there can be an acknowledgement and conviction in God. You ready for that? It's found in this text here, which I said is all about God. And it's about God's kingdom and righteousness and fatherhood behind that. But that's not all the truth. Because look closely at Psalm 72. And it's really about a man. Look, give the king your judgments, O God, and your righteousness to the king's son. And he will judge your people with righteousness and your poor with justice. The mountains will bring peace to the people and he shall have dominion and so on. It's about the king's son. Now, we can maybe make that with a capital S, but we have to make that with a small s, first of all, because the psalmist is talking about Solomon. King Solomon, a man among the men, among the Adam's men. But a Solomon, you have to get this, who is a picture of Jesus. That's the key. That's why I hope you can walk out believing that the man that you heard this afternoon was not a man just of culture, but a man of the cross. Because here's the key. There was a man once upon the fullness of time who came into the flesh from heaven. There was a man who was God. And though he remained God, took on flesh. And the man emptied himself of the glory of his divinity and became us so really and fully, he even took on our sin. That's the man who's celebrated here. The King's Son. The Son of David. That's it. And this whole psalm, all of these Psalms, Psalm 1 to 150, the whole of the New Testament, the Law and the Prophets, comes to pass and is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. That's why. You can say amen. Because He did, in a saving way. The Bible says that all the promises of God, every single promise from Genesis 3:15 all the way to Malachi, are yea and amen in Jesus. Jesus Himself is called the Amen and the True. Why? Here's why. Because He's the confirmation of God. That's why. He's the one who is the embodiment of God. In His flesh dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In His activity, there was God. And we beheld Him, full of grace and truth. The glory of God the Father was in Him and revealed in Him. And He stepped down from heaven. What a step! To our shores. And then stepped down to hell on our behalf. Saying amen to the justice of God that had to be satisfied. And the mercy of God that kissed justice together for our salvation. That's why a psalmist can say amen. He's anticipating the amen man of men. Our God with us, Jesus Christ. He's anticipating the real King's Son. The real, the promised Son of David. He is looking toward, this is the nature of the Scripture, to the Word. The final Word that God would say in all of time. The Word become flesh who dwelt among us. Jesus is God speaking to us and God's own response to Himself. Wonderful. Don't you think? And that's why God is our King and God is our Father through this Son who establishes no earthly kingdom but a divine. This kingdom here, which speaks about poor people being dealt with justice and peace being among the people and kings coming to pay homage to the King and this endurance of the kingdom as long as the sun and the moon endure throughout all generations. That's a picture of the kingdom of heaven. That's a picture of when God comes in Jesus Christ, His Son, and through His Spirit into our hearts and makes us His kingdom. You, Grace Church, kingdom of heaven. It's a picture of forgiveness. A picture of God overwhelming your sins so much that you are now the victor over sin through Jesus' blood. The picture it is of peace with God. Picture it is of devils no longer having sway over you. And of you no longer having sway over you. That's probably the best thing, isn't it? And of you knowing God, your Father, and of me knowing God as my Father, what a Father. So, there's this response to God in Jesus making my final point. Many who will say amen and amen, just like he did. Right. Well, I'm going to leave you with some challenges, some ways to be better amen people, to appreciate all the more fathers and Father's Day and fatherhood of God. There's something very important in our understanding of just how we can take this word in our own lips. And we can even lead the way in praising God. And the first thing is, our faith has got to be there. You believe? See, amen and amen is about aman and aman. Believing, believing. What's that take? The Spirit. The Holy Spirit. None of us believes. None of us is convicted of God. None of us knows God the Father. Every one of us is celebrating Dad and knows nothing of God unless we believe. We need the Spirit. So, first thing is pray for the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit inspired these words of a man. We needs be inspired to say the truth as it is in Jesus. The Spirit. Pray for the Spirit, people of God. The Catechism reminds us that the Holy Spirit and the grace of God are only given to those who ask Him. Pray for the Spirit. And use the means of grace, secondly, to be amen, people of God. Truly appreciative of God the Father. After all, means of grace are means of faith, aren't they? Believe that? How shall they believe except they hear? How shall they hear without a preacher? That's why you're in church. Oh, yeah. You can get religion on the radio, printed page, tapes. Good. But God gets you here. This is what He has said is vital for the vitality of your believing. The stated solemnities of visiting the house of God. There are many, even in this day, even so-called evangelical Christians for whom the church is and not amen. And sometimes there's understandable reasons. The church has let us down. We've been oppressed in church. There's been unruliness in church. Sovereign Grace Church, we're a mess of folks who've been messed up. Often by church. We're more than that. God's good. But that's where we start. And again, it's understandable. I'm corresponding with a couple of fellows. We don't need church. It's good for, it's all right. We don't need it. You do need it. Now, of course, God's sovereign. We believe in sovereign grace, right? God uses anything. He'll work through whatever, good and bad, through whatever. But God has said, this is how I'm going to build up my people normally. I give you elders, I give you pastors, I give you one another, I give you preaching, I give you sacraments, I give you church discipline. I'm giving it to you. And in this, I'm going to show off my glorious Father. It's no wonder, again, that people don't understand the value of church because, well, they've been broken in their homes. Homes are largely dysfunctional in America. Divorce here, divorce there, remarriage. And everybody feels abandoned. And they don't understand. A church is this place, this unique place on earth, where we are told something of the family of God. We don't get it. The culture has taught us otherwise. And even the churches that have been oppressive have taught us otherwise. And so we'll learn amen on our own. Can't do it. Not if you're deliberately despising the means of grace. Could be, and the Bible seems to lead us to understand this, that one day we have to flee persecution. And the instituted church's days may be short-lived. But till then, beloved, use the means of faith. And that's not just showing up. It's responding to truth in a real way. Loving God and loving the guy, the gal, the family next to you. Not just across the aisle. But the people you see whom you have not chosen, but whom God has chosen. So, that means Father's Day is important to us. The Lord's Day. Every week. Every week. And we lead the world then into understanding someone more important than my dad. But then, just a few more things. Men. Where are you? If you be not fathers yet, or never have, you're supposed to be son of God. That's the man who says this. If you're a man. Here we are, Father's Day, Man's Day, whatever. Think of strength. Bicep, not strength of faith. We think of bringing home, if you're fathers now, go to the fathers. Think of bringing home the bacon. Thanks, Dad, for a new car, for food. What about bringing home the Bible? I know a dad who brought home the bacon. Not the Bible. My dad never told me the word of the Lord. Never. Oh, he's a good dad, though. I thank God for him. And we walked along the Appalachian Trail, but not the narrow way to heaven. Dads, you're here to say amen to God, to your children. You are. If you haven't done it yet, God says, now. Sometimes with your words, always with your life. Be a sermon about conviction. Whether you're a son only, or a father, and have been a son, mother, whatever, all of us folks on Father's Day are celebrating the son, too. That's unique to Christians, Father's Day. We celebrate a son, God the Son. And we have life in the Holy Spirit, not life just in front of the television. Dad likes the sports. And our concern is not, first of all, primarily the U.S. Open, but the glories of the gospel. Yours? So, amen, people. I want to tell you lastly, it takes courage. Because you not only say amen, you say it twice. You say amen, people, and then they respond to you. Unbelievers, those kings of Seba and Sheba, whatever, who always vied for the preeminence with God. You say amen to that, they come to you, and you're not so powerful looking as God is. And the church is not so powerful, of course, as Jesus is, to whom all power and authority is given. And they come after you when you say amen. And that can be hard than to say it twice when they come after you. And when the boss says, you said amen to Sabbath keeping? What's that, you Puritan? You're going to say that again? Your job's in jeopardy. But Christians say it twice, even in the face of adversity. And when the doctors say, here's the bad news. And when death comes, they say it twice. It's true. That's something, you see. Something for Father's Day. You know how I used to brag about your father? Before the neighbor on the block. My dad's stronger than your dad. You ever do that? That's such a bad thing. But it's a bad thing if we don't brag about God our Father, isn't it? He's not just the strongest dad on the block. He's Almighty God! And so when the doubts come, and your enemies come, and they whisper to you that all is not well, you say, hold it! My God is Almighty God! And this is my Father's world! And the earth and heaven be filled with devils. This is my God's world. And this is my God's will for me. And my God has sent His Son who to confirm Himself and His love. And I know He will never leave me because He is the faithful and amen in Himself. Therefore, people of God, I want you to say this now with me. You dare? I want you to say what the psalmist says at the end of this psalm and as we conclude this sermon. What do you do with this psalm? Do you believe this psalm, this word of God here? Do you believe the gospel of the fatherhood of God and of Father's Day and of Father's forever? God the Father's? Well, then, say these two words. Let all the people of God say amen. And amen. Let's now, people of God, sing in response